1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Well, that's confidence. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about confidence in prayer. Confidence in prayer from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. The key in this passage, and you know there are so many passages in the Bible that talk about prayer and the prayer promises. But in this, the key to this passage is this: if we ask anything according to His will. Do you see it? So this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And so the key then to having confidence that the Lord will hear us is that we're asking something according to His will. Now, you know, sometimes the will of God is not intangible. Sometimes the will of God is not something like, well, I have to pray and pray until I find out what God wants, like the plan is for my life. Many times the will of God is clearly stated in the Scripture. And it's the same for every person that's in this building and every person who's a Christian, because it's clearly stated. So I'm going to show you one of those places concerning prayer where the will of God is plainly seen. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So if we want confidence in prayer, and the way to get that confidence is to pray according to the will of God, then if we can find a place like 1 Timothy chapter 2 where the will of God is clearly stated, then we have confidence that He heareth us. That He heareth us. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, look with me in verses 1 through 4. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. Now, you know what intercessions are, right? That's where I'm not praying for myself. I'm praying for you. Intercession is where you're praying for somebody else that has a need. So, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for whom? All men. All men. So, there's not a class of people. There's not a limit to the number of people. When he says that these intercessions be made for all men, he's talking about all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. One of the great days in my prayer life was the day that I recognized we can pray for kings and all that are in authority. We have people in our country that are in authority for the purpose of leading a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Did you get to do that today? Did you get to do that today? You know, there are a lot of places in the world where they're not getting to do this today. It's such a delight to be able to talk to the Lord for those that are in positions of authority and ask God to give us a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty and live that day in godliness and honesty. You don't have to lie to anybody about your faith in Christ. It's tremendous. But he goes on to say in verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So to then make intercession for all men is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. All right, so I'm looking at something here that is the will of God, clearly stated. He says in verse 4, who will, right? And he starts out in verse one with an exhortation, an instruction to us: make intercessions for all men, for those that are in authority. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So, the Lord's will stated here is for us to intercede. Do you agree? Can you see that? And he said, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I'm reminded of a phrase that phrase used somewhere else in the Bible, good and acceptable. Are you tracking with me where else you find that phrase in the Bible? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. So he's given you a real indication on something that is a good and acceptable will of God. And the nice thing about knowing what you're seeing here is you've been instructed to do it, and you know you have this confidence that he heareth us. What you don't know is how long it's going to take for him to accomplish it. All you know is he heard you, and he told you to pray, but he didn't tell you how long. So sometimes that can be frustration, because after a while you might say, well, I prayed about that for a week and nothing happened, so I'll just give up on that. When it comes to intercession, you probably don't want to do that. You don't want to give up that quick. There are times, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and three times he prayed, he didn't pray anymore, because he knew then it is time. He knew what was going to happen, and God did not take the cup from him. So there was no reason to pray more. Paul prayed three times for that thorn in his flesh to be removed. And he did get an answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. So he didn't have to keep praying about that. He was heard. As a matter of fact, he got something better than his petition. Because he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I take pleasure in my infirmities. So there was God's answer was better than Paul's request. All we have to know is, if I'm praying these prayers, I got to know that God's hearing me. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If you're interceding, he's listening. And that's important. All right, so that's the first thing. His will is for us to intercede, but his will is also stated here for all men to be saved. What confidence do I have in that? Because not everybody gets saved. Well, the confidence is if I pray according to his will. Well, what is his will in verse 4? Who will have all men to be saved? Then I'm safe praying for somebody that's lost even though I don't know the outcome. Right? I am safe knowing that I can bring this petition to the Lord and he hears me. You know, we'll often say John 3:16. You can, I guess everybody in here can quote it. God so loved the world. That's a pretty big place with a lot of people in it, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Well, you don't know who that is. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse goes on to say, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. World's a big place. Got a lot of people in it. And the people you're praying for are among those. Right? In the world. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think you're very safe interceding for lost people, don't you? You have a list, I have a list, you've mentioned some names that are on my list of people that are lost. And you know, we pray and I'm glad now that I've got confidence based on what I'm seeing here that God hears us, but you know, you're wondering, will he ever answer those prayers? Yeah, he'll answer those prayers. He'll answer those prayers. You know, George Mueller is famous for his faith. Most of you know who I'm talking about. Famous for his faith and literally was able through the years of his ministry to feed, care for, train 10,000 orphans. Never ask anybody for a dime, prayed in every penny of it. Tremendous. So we know he's a great man of faith. He had five close friends that were lost, and he prayed for every one of them. All right? When he started praying for these men, when you read the illustration, the years vary, but here's the point. The first guy got saved 5 years after he started praying for him. Within 10 years, two more of them had gotten saved. At 25 years, the fourth one got saved. And when George Mueller died, the fifth one he'd been praying for had still not gotten saved. After, listen, 52 years of praying. And do you know that guy got saved within 3 months of Mueller's death? That's a long time. See, we have to have confidence that God hears us. We have to, because if we didn't have that confidence, we'd give up. But God said, don't give up. And I know in my own life, people that have prayed for me, literally God intervened in reply to their prayer when I had gone astray. It's an amazing thing. His will is for us to intercede. His will is for all men to be saved. He has foreknowledge, so he knows. And God doesn't make the decision for you. But I'm telling you what, man, he can do some things to get that gospel to bring conviction. It's an amazing thing what God can do. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved, and he has another will there, to come unto the knowledge of the truth, right? Now, that's very important. That's very important, particularly for wayward kids. When I say wayward kids, some kid grew up, like we were talking about these children in these teens in the Navajo land, in the Navajo Nation, all right? They're doing everything they possibly can to encourage those kids not to run with hellish influence, but some of them do. All right, and some of those that do are going to pay a price. They're going to go off into, right, some bad stuff, and some of them are going to come back. But you know how their way back, you know what they're going to need? They're going to need to acknowledge the truth. According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says that we are in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. They have to acknowledge the truth. And he says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. When you're praying, listen, we have that list. Here are the cards right here. These are the cards of the people that you have submitted who are either lost or wayward. And you pray every Wednesday night, and the widows of our church, thank God for them. Pray every single day for the names on that list. And you know, after a while, it's kind of like, do we need to keep praying for these? Is God answering? And I'm going to tell you, He does. He does answer this. They have to acknowledge the truth in order to get right with God. You know, the prodigal son did. He burned through his entire inheritance. I mean, he's sitting there in the pigsty, and he frustrated because he knows the servants that his father has back home are in better shape than he's in. And that's when he comes to himself. And that's when he realizes, I have sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against my father, and I'm going to go and tell him that. And when he sees his dad, he said, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. You know what? That's the truth. And when he acknowledged that and came back, that's when he got the gold ring, shoes on his feet, robe, and a feast with a fatted calf. God hears that. God hears those prayers. D.L. Moody was preaching in London, so that's many years ago. And it was in a large hall. There must have been 20,000 people there. And when he was there, he got word that there was a couple of a mother and father, husband and wife, whose son had left home, England, and had gone to Australia and was in some camp in the bush, only the Lord knows where. And they were so desperate for him that they got a prayer request presented to that large audience of people and asked if the people in that conference would pray for their son that night. 20,000 prayers lifted on behalf of that boy at one time in a hall in London. At that same time, that boy is riding his horse out of that camp, going to the nearby town, which was a long way from where he was out in the bush. So he's got that long ride, and while they're praying, he's riding. The Spirit of God got a hold of that kid on that horse. He came under heavy conviction for his sin. He stopped his horse. He got off. He knelt down beside his horse. He asked the Lord to forgive him of his sins. He recognized his need of Jesus Christ as his Savior. He trusted the Lord as his Savior. And the first thing he did when he got to that town was found an office where he could send a cable, a telegram. He sent a telegram to his mother and father, told them what had happened, told him how they'd come, you know, converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked if they were willing to accept him if he would come home. She shot a cable right back in a heartbeat. That old boy wrapped up his business in Australia. They hung a big bell on the inside of the door. They didn't know what time of day or night he'd come through, and they wanted to be sure that the whole house woke up when he came in. So if he came in at night and that bell rang, they'd all know to greet their son. You know what? God hears your prayers. You have confidence that he heareth us when you ask according to his will. I'm looking at one of the cards right now, this one, and I hesitate to tell you. I shouldn't hesitate to tell you. So it's right here. You're praying for, right? Many of you have already prayed for him. That he'll have a closer walk with the Lord and strength and determination to do God's will. And I know specifically one thing that he had to do that was God's will to turn away from something in order for this prayer to be fully answered. I know what the situation is. I happened to be with his parents last week when they received a text from him, and he did that thing. And he said the peace of God came in, and the burden was lifted. He said, I have not experienced so much peace in my life in years. You know what that is? That's the answer to your prayers. That a man would acknowledge the truth and get in a right relationship with God. Have confidence in this. When you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And he told us to intercede, and he told us what to intercede for. Pray for the lost, pray for the wayward, that they would acknowledge the truth. Church, keep it up. You're doing a good job. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to be encouraged in the very thing that you've given us to do. I am so thankful, Lord, for your loving kindness to us. And I'm asking you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, continue, Lord, to encourage us to stay with this work. As you listen, as you hear, as you arrange circumstances in other people's lives, bring them to a place where they can get it right with you. Help us to be faithful to do your will, for we ask you to in Jesus' name. Amen.